It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table, ladies, and I hope you have your Bibles open to the book of Philippians. We are in lesson 3. This one, if you're looking for the notes, and we hope you are, you'll find these on our Bible tab at naomistable.com, and this one is titled, His Will, Not My Own. Beth Seifert is back at the table with lesson 3. Hey, Beth, welcome back to the table.
Thank you, Amy. It's great to be here.
Well, what are we learning in lesson 3 today?
Well, today we are going to learn about one of the most famous verses that you may have heard of. It's here in Philippians, and it's where Paul says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And what that really means about submitting our will to His despite our preferences. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Philippians chapter 1, verses 18 through 26. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. You know, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Paul will continue to rejoice, to choose to rejoice, despite those who were preaching the gospel for malicious reasons. He knew from his own experience with God and from the Word of God in general that God works all things to the good for those who are called according to His purpose. Paul isn't concerned about his physical good. He knew that every indignity and suffering he endured served to increase Christ's fame and honor, and instead of causing more problems for him, it made him more well-known to the point that more people were interceding for him and for his release from bondage. He believes that his deliverance will come about through the prayers of the saints, just as Peter was delivered out of prison through the prayer of the church for him in Acts 12. And he believes that the prayers of these saints in Philippi are powerful indeed. He knows their hearts, and he knows that they are trying to align their hearts with God. Paul places a great deal of importance on prayer. He knew that not only were the prayers of a righteous man heard by God, in 1 Peter 3:12 we see that, but the prayers of the whole church with their hearts joined together to seek God's will and intercede on the behalf of their brother in chains were powerful. The help given by the Holy Spirit were gifts from Christ to supply strength and grace and whatever else is needed in our shortcomings for whatever situation we face. Thus, the Holy Spirit is the supplier of all that we may be in need of in order to do and suffer whatever He calls us to and through. When Paul speaks in verse 20 of not being ashamed, he's talking of his hope in Christ and the promise of eternal life. Paul considers the sufferings, the insults, and everything else that he's been through for Christ to be precious to him. He delights in being used for Christ's will, in being found worthy, and being able to share Christ with others. He isn't ashamed of all the indignities he suffered for Christ. And seriously, how many times was this poor man chased by mobs of angry people or forced to find a creative way to exit a town so the people wouldn't ambush and kill him? If Christ is served, if Christ is glorified, if the gospel is shared and more people are brought to a saving faith in Christ, Paul doesn't care how he looks. It reminds me of David, who danced joyfully before the ark as he brought it into the town, and his own wife told him he looked ridiculous, and David's response was, I'll make myself ridiculous for God, leave me alone. You can find that story in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Paul really and truly isn't worried about what will become of him. He knows that one way or another, he'll be fine. If he dies, he gets to be with Jesus. That rocks for him. What more could you hope for if you're a believer? If Paul lives, he gets to continue to spread God's gospel message to everyone he meets and help people see the need for a Savior and know that there's an alternative to hell. It's a win-win situation for Paul. But we see that something does concern Paul here. Paul's prayer is that he will not hide the gospel, that his suffering will not tempt him into abandoning his service to God. He doesn't want to shame the gospel or God by his actions. He wants his actions to reflect God. He doesn't expect to be perfect, or he wouldn't be worried about falling short like this. Paul was not perfect, and he knows it. But Paul is also certain that God isn't finished with him yet. Paul is still needed to help the saints to grow in their faith. He knows that his work is not yet done, and God has more in mind for him, and he's ready to undertake that work, even while he, selfishly, he says, would rather be with Jesus in heaven. Wouldn't we all? Paul puts God's will and the needs of those around him ahead of his personal preference, though. He's ready to do what God wants him to do. He sums it up in verse 21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. To live is to further Christ's gospel. To die, pure gain for him. He'll be with Christ. How many of us can truly say that we live that way? Do you look forward to dying? I'm not talking about suicide here. Do you look forward to meeting your Savior? Do you start each day with the thought of, how can I help further the gospel today? It may be something as seemingly simple as teaching your children about Christ as you stay at home and raise them. It may be the reality that you are going into a workplace that is hostile to Christ and making the effort to show not only Christ's love and mercy, but also his justice and God's expectations for us, even when we fall short. So now I ask you, do you put God's goals ahead of your own? The thing of that is this, our goals should line up with God's goals. God does have a wonderful plan for your life, but it may not be what you expect or even want at first. He doesn't want you to wallow in misery or be in despair, because if you are in Christ, you are born into a new hope, and that should be evident even in hard times or sorrowful times. His goals for you are what is best for you, whether you know it's best for you or not. His goals for you include him in them. Are your goals in line with God so that you can see the line between yours and his? Are you able to let go of your own pride and comfort in the goal of advancing God's gospel and glorifying him? Or do you need the glory? Do you need others to know how you have suffered for God? Do you need others to know that you were the one who brought X many people to Christ and to his word? I hate to burst your bubble, but God is the only one who draws people to him. He is the one who changes hearts and opens eyes. You play a vital role in that by your service to him, but your role may be as simple as planting the thought, or it may be as seemingly monumental as bringing someone to church and helping them find Christ and accept his sacrifice for them. But the glory is never ours. The glory is always his. Always. And we are called to live lives that show him through all we do, even when we fail and need forgiveness.
Beth, those mercies are new each day, and we can praise God for that, all to the glory of God. Thank you so much for this lesson three. Ladies, you can find the notes that will take you deeper on our website under the Bible Studies tab. Just look for lesson three in Philippians, and we're going to leave it on the table for right now. We will be right back.